B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, what are some great games that are too long to play through a second time? There are definitely games out there like that.
Oh, yeah.
Skyrim, anyone? Plus, what games are you looking forward to that are coming out this fall? Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with a question. Could video games be the new frontier of literature? It's an interesting think piece from VentureBeat to come out about this, so we thought we might talk about it.
Yeah, I wanted to read a passage from this article on VentureBeat, and I do recommend everyone read it. It's really good. And it says this: when does entertainment become art? Since I decided to renew my interest in gaming, I've been wrestling with the line between entertainment, art, and education. Part of my struggle is that high school and college force-fed so much unentertaining, dull literature and art. Teachers and professors preached as dogma that certain books and paintings were works of art, even though they added nothing introspective to my life. And we are now getting to a point where our generation, the generation after us especially, views video games as just as valid an art form as
literature,
as a book, a film.
A good painting.
So
of course,
doesn't it stand to reason then that as our generation and the next one start becoming teachers, that we'll start using video games as examples of art?
See, I think that'd be really cool.
I think that you're starting to see a little bit of this. And I think that the ways that you're starting to see it, it creeps into other curriculum. Music teachers will use, when I was growing up, they used a lot of movie soundtracks.
Right.
One of the very first things that I ever learned to play on the violin. Yes, I played the violin
so
growing
up. So did I, bro.
Yes, that's right. One of the very first things that I learned to play was the Jurassic Park soundtrack theme.
Oh, yep.
Right? Like the main overture for the movie.
Beautiful.
Which is a great piece, and I can still bring that to my memory to this day. And the thing is that that was so much more interesting to learn than like Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
Or Near My God to
Hot Cross Buns.
There you go.
Or Mary Had a Little Lamb. This was a way for me to engage with it because I was so into Jurassic Park at that point in my life that I was like, yes, I would love to learn this. And I think that you would get a lot of the same responses with video game music, and we've started to see some music teachers start to incorporate that kind of stuff into their curriculum.
I would like to make just a quick change to this idea that you posited for us, Joe, is that first of all, video games, I think, have always been a form of art or something that could be used in this fashion. I think we're just now getting to the point where those teaching are seeing the values of it
and recognize the validity.
Yes, yeah. Because personally, I mean, I always felt that way with you know, the old golden age of RPGs, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9. And, and honestly, I think that there's, depending on how you're using them, that there is something that is lost with newer games that are fully voice acted.
See, okay,
right?
and that's something that I wanted to bring up is that I think with the advent of stuff like Battle Royale games and certain games that are so drop in, drop out, that I think something is a little bit lost when it comes to these rich, lush narrative experiences that we're used to seeing. But instead of feeling like, you know, games have sort of lost that that luster that they had, I feel they're just closer to film than they were to literature per se.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP. We're currently talking about whether or not video games could be, you know, a new frontier of literature. And I think we're kind of dancing around this question of what constitutes a video game crossing over from just being a video game and transcending and becoming art. Because not everything that is created is art, right?
True.
Like
yeah.
In the same way that not every photograph that's ever been taken can be considered art. So is there a litmus test that a game can pass to be able to be considered as art? And in the same way that we look at literature, because I think that you bring up a great point. Voice acting, especially if we're looking at this through the lens of literature, voice acting takes that part out of it, well, right?
I think that's dangerous when we get into stuff like that, because while everything may not be considered art, I think most things can have artistry to them.
Sure,
virtuosity.
Here's a great example. What you just said, Norris, of battle royale games.
Yeah.
Drop in, jump out. Is would you consider PlayerUnknown's Battleground or Fortnite a work of art?
Probably not, from my definition.
Right.
But I think if somebody wanted to, that they would be able to make a strong argument
sure.
for, because there is a artistry that goes into building a perfectly functional battle royale.
Of course.
Although I think being able to argue that something doesn't have artistic merit is in itself, it kind of validates that. Like when I see, if I go into a film study class and my teacher assigns me, hey, I want you to write a report on this movie. And if I come back and I have a three-page, well-thought-out paper saying this movie is a heap of garbage with no artistic value, and it's well-written and well-argued, that in itself
has validity. Yes.
Absolutely.
You're absolutely right. And I think that this is, if we're all working off separate definitions of what, classifies a video game as art, I think that this becomes instantly much more difficult cult to pin down.
Well, I think I agree with that point, but I think, literature, I think, is the wrong word, in my opinion, to even use for it. Because I think when people hear literature, they have a very concrete...
They think book. Sure, yeah.
They think Mark Twain.
Or poem. I think the better question is, will video games be used for academic purposes?
Well, I think that, but I think storytelling. I think storytelling is a better...
How about like this?
A better word.
The same way that when you think about classic literature, Huckleberry Finn, right? Or The Odyssey. Like there are certain things that when you talk about the classics, people expect you to have read, right?
Yeah.
Are there games like that that people will have expected you to have played?
Well, and I think that brings up a really interesting question, because, and for those people that are out there listening right now going, well, no, of course video games aren't art. They're just, they're just games. They're frivolous. Listen, this is something that your kids will be very considerate of when they're growing up, because video games have an impact on people's lives the way that all media has an impact on people's lives when they grow up with it. We inherently view some games as artistic or more artful because we have the context for a ton of other video games that aren't, that don't meet that definition. And the thing is that, if you're going to be able to talk to your kids about any of this kind of stuff, you have to be able to relate to them and understand that. And I can see a world where a kid goes to class and is assigned a video game at the end of that class as homework and having a parent flip out about it.
No, and let me tell you, because this happened to me in college. I had an art history course, and we were on an Italian Renaissance unit, and we had to study not just artwork, but also architecture.
Yep.
And so we're looking at, really, really cool stuff in Florence and Rome and all those places. And my instructor said, how many of you in here are familiar with the Assassin's Creed video game series? And about half the room raises their hand. She says, go, and if you can, go and play Assassin's Creed 2. And for extra credit, you could come back and write a report on
sure.
it, because it digitally recreated the cities of Venice and Florence, which were incredibly important at the time. Recreated some of the important buildings. So for me,
and they're now being they're helping to reconstruct
Notre Dame.
Yeah,
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Exactly, because Ubisoft already had the data on it. So these are the types of things that, Nate, as you're saying, is absolutely true, that we're already moving towards that.
Oh,
certain
absolutely.
Instructors are going to use video games
as
a way to teach.
Absolutely.
They already
but
are.
When does this become the norm?
I think we're close.
Well, let me ask our listeners out there, if your kid came home and said, hey, Dad, my teacher said that over the course of this semester, I have to download and play Final Fantasy IX, and at the end of it, I have to write a 5-page paper talking about the characters, talking about the story, how everything plays out, the artistic value of it.
Sure.
to you as a parent, would that be different than them saying the same thing about a book instead of a video? What's Is it worse because it's a video game?
What's the difference between that and a book report? And I would say, actually, arguably, in terms of having to spend time interacting with the thing, you're going to be spending way more time in front of something like Final Fantasy IX than you would be going cover to cover on a book.
Right. So if your goal is to get people to think critically and think creatively, then you want something that's going to engage them.
And critical analysis. That's really the exercise that's being applied there. You're reading something, you're you know, contextualizing it through your own internal lens, and then, you know, being able to communicate that to another person. That's the exercise that doing a book report is. It's not about you learn, you know, like reading the book or taking away something from the
book.
It's
about digesting themes
and being able to take those themes out of that, mm-hmm. and be able to identify them. Those are really important aspects of critical analysis. And you know, how often do we use critical analysis in our everyday lives?
When I was a kid, I was big into movies because my dad was big into movies. Mm-hmm.
Sure, yeah.
We would sit down but it wasn't just, all right, let's make some popcorn and watch a movie at the end of the movie. Well, it's discussion time. Now we have to sit and talk about, okay, what were they trying to do in these different scenes? What could have been done better? Mm-hmm. What could have been done differently? And there's going to be a whole generation, I feel like, of parents who are going to have that opportunity to sit down and play a game with their kid and not just say, well, that was cool shooting that guy for a little while, when you could say, all right, well, let's talk about this game design.
Can I just say, I love the idea of little Joe being forced to sit down and watch something like My Dinner with Andre, and afterwards... All right, now it's time to discuss.
No, it was usually like Back to the Future or something like that.
But I mean, think about it. You know, if any of us are so cursed with children, like, the thing is, imagine your kid coming home and they say, hey, our teacher assigned us this really old game. It was called Final Fantasy something. I think the 7th one. Like, that would be awesome, dude.
I would love the idea, but we got to hear from you on this. Parents especially, if your kid came home with a video game as an assignment, how would you react? Would it be like Hank Hill? Would you flip your lid? Or would you be cool with it? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, what are you looking forward to that's coming out this fall? We'll discuss that. That'll wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, what are some great games that are just too long to play through a second time? That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Games that are great, but they're too long to play through a second time. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas on 720 AM as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We all have games that we love to plug a lot of time into. Mm-hmm. I myself am about to round 200 hours in Fallout 4.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
And the thing is that, like, there are definitely some games that you get so deep into that you, even if you beat them and really enjoyed them, starting them over again just feels like too much to undertake.
You know how much time you're going to have to put into them.
Yeah.
Well, and to highlight again, we're not saying there's anything wrong with these games.
Oh, no, not great by games. A long shot. No.
So this came to us on a list from Twinfinite, who was going through some of these games that they felt were great, but way too long to try again. So I wanted to take us through this list and see if we agree with a lot of these. This first one, Norris, Robbie, you can lend some context to. Persona 5
oh my God.
Is the first one on the list.
Okay, here's the...
Really? Almost any Persona. I'll be honest. I got through Persona 4.
Yeah.
Enjoyed it, and then started Persona 3, and then rethought, like, I had to do all this stuff for 4 that I'm going to have to do again for... Oh, forget this.
Here's the problem with Persona 5, especially, is that the final act of Persona 5 feels completely superfluous. Like, it feels like it doesn't need to be there. There's a dungeon that feels like it should be the last dungeon with an enemy that feels like it should be the last enemy, and it's not. There's a whole nother dungeon with a whole nother sub-dungeon with a whole nother enemy, and if you did away with that, that game would have been perfectly paced.
Yeah, I mean, I've technically played through it more than once, but it was like three-quarters of the way twice, and so I know even just to get to that point and I start to burn out, like... Man, I don't know. I don't think I could do it again.
How do you just not finish it? If you're three quarters of the way through, how do you just not finish it?
Because I started it over, and then I get to that point, and you're burnt out at that point.
I don't know how you don't just finish it.
Yeah. Why did you start it over, though?
I don't even remember, man.
Like, you couldn't just revive your save file and keep going from there?
Did the same thing now recently with Fire Emblem, too, so I don't know.
You are really bad
just
at video
games.
Finish
your games.
God. Joe, okay, let's go to our next one.
Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Oh. Oh my God, this is 100% accurate.
Yeah.
This is 100% accurate.
How are you guys
this is the
into
only
that?
This is, by the way, the only Metal Gear Solid outside of Peace Walker that this phenomenon happens with as well.
Yeah.
Five is a really big undertaking. There's a lot of busy work in terms of, like, you know, recruiting people and that kind of stuff.
Getting the right recruits.
Let me tell
with
you,
the right skills.
Let me tell you how bad it got. I bought it originally for PS3, played it all the way through, beat it, rebought it for PS4. When I bought my PS4, I have never even gotten through the intro scene.
Yeah. Because you know what you're in
you
for.
You know what's coming.
Is Red Dead Redemption 2 on that list? Because that's another game with a lot of stuff to do.
Yes, Red Dead Redemption 2 is on
I'm not surprised by
As
that at all.
As one who has beat Red Dead Redemption 2, I got to the epilogue and I was just like, oh, Lord.
Never
like,
again.
It was just like, oh, my God, no.
Yeah, I even as far as I've gotten into that game, which isn't super far, but like, I'm like... 10-15 hours in and feel like I've done absolutely nothing.
Here's the thing. It's a gorgeous journey. Don't get me wrong.
A beautiful
game, gorgeous game, start to finish, absolutely amazing, but holy hell is it long.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP. We're currently going through and talking about games that are they're awesome, they're phenomenal, but they're maybe too long to play a second time.
Robbie, I'll have to get your opinion on this one with me. Dragon Age Inquisition. Is on here.
Yes.
Most Dragon Age
most
games,
Dragon
actually.
Age games,
no, specifically Inquisition, because I sunk 50 hours into that game, like doing side quests as you go. Thought I was near the end. And then when I was looking up some stuff online, realized apparently I hadn't even finished, like, what you would consider like the prologue.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so that was one that when I read that, I'm like, I'm so far into this, I'm just like, well, I guess I'm just not finishing this game then. What?
Yeah. Okay, here's one that's going to be a little tougher for us to speak of. Days Gone is on this list.
Really?
Definitely, I think the newest entry.
I watched some streams of Days Gone.
That's the crazy zombie floods and stuff.
Yeah.
I've watched some streams of Days Gone. It doesn't, to me, look overly impressive. It just looks like the game
it's something
that
we've seen before.
Yeah, it was trying to be The Last of Us with better tech. But it's not it.
I just didn't figure that game for something that's really lengthy.
Exactly. Yeah. See, I would have thought that would be the type of game that if you really plugged like a few weekends into,
you could get
just steam through.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly,
based off the development time it took to get
it
out.
Fair. That's true.
That's fair.
All right, I like this one. Bravely Default is on here.
100%. Especially once you figure out that you're stuck in that loop, you're like, I never want to do another one of those loops ever again.
I think any like sort of RPG that has the job system where you can grind out jobs for multiple characters multiple times.
Yeah. You know that, by the way, it was so bad.
Octopath on there too.
Octopath, kind of suffers from the same thing. It was so bad for me, I never went back for Bravely 2.
Oh, mm-hmm. I see. I did go back and play Bravely Second. I enjoyed it. It's a sequel, but yeah. I enjoyed it a lot.
See, I got to finish Octopath specifically because I know how much I'll have to grind in that game.
But, Robbie, I think you make a great point about games that have job systems because I love Final Fantasy V. I love that game. But of all the ones that I would go back and play again, yeah, I don't know that I want to go back and grind out jobs on all those characters again. That's a lot of work.
It sure is.
Okay, up next is, we got Red Dead Redemption 2. Oh. Dragon Quest 11. So Dragon Quest is a tougher one because, like, Dragon Quest is, I think, the series that I want to play and never do.
Really?
I feel the same way, like, because here's the, because I know the investment that I have to put into it.
It is a pretty serious investment.
You know?
So. I mean, you know, that's the one thing about Dragon Quest games is that they have kept their length. You know, very loyal to where the series started.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, in terms of, like, that's a series that Square Enix refuses to mess with.
Yeah, they do in keep the way, it pretty true to what
it was. Like, they mess with Final Fantasy in all kind of crazy ways, but
frustrating ways.
That's because it's not really theirs.
That might give you a sense of who's actually pulling the strings over at Square Enix. All right, we're kind of running out of time.
Don't worry, that's actually the entire list.
Is it?
That's all of them. And it got me thinking. I don't struggle with that with most RPGs. Mm-hmm. Like, I will go back and replay a Final Fantasy game regularly.
Interesting that they didn't put, like, all Bethesda games on that list. Because the
length on those are optional.
If you want to
blaze through the main story quest or any side quest chain, you can.
And I think people are more likely to restart a Bethesda game because there are multiple narrative paths that you can take. Mm-hmm. So there's an incentive to do it.
Yeah, I've replayed Morrowind a bunch of times when I think
about
it.
A lot of people have.
I've played Skyrim a bunch of times.
Yes, I've played Skyrim on multiple different platforms. Fallout is one that I could see going and starting another character, even though I'm 200 hours deep in it. But we want to hear from you. What's a game that you could just plug endless hours into? And what's a game that you never want to go back again for?
Once was enough.
Yeah, exactly. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we got to know what you're looking forward to this fall. We'll share our own upcoming releases that we're hyped about. Stick around. That's coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
What are you looking forward to playing this fall? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. My name is Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talk and Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, then go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Man, do we have a heavy hitting list of games that are going to be coming out this fall.
All right, and I got our pockets.
Right? Yeah. So I got to know, what are you guys looking forward to the most that's coming out this fall? For me, it's got to be Death Stranding.
Pokemon, though. No?
I'm not in for Pokemon.
Oh, no.
Listen, here's the thing. I'm not, train?
Here's the thing, okay? So I bought Let's Go Pikachu and barely played it.
Yeah, me too.
You know what I mean?
Great, like, game, though.
It is.
Yeah, I beat it.
I liked the concept behind it, but I feel like, yeah.
It was aimed at a way more casual audience, I think.
Yes, absolutely. And then as we find out more and more about Sword and Shield, you know, the stuff like the Dynamax,
and just, even the new Pokemon Heaven.
Yeah, I'm not totally sold on it.
Yeah, it might be more of a, like, hey, if it comes out and it's getting good reviews, all right, we'll check it out.
You know what it'll be for him is when he's done with Death Stranding and he needs something to hold him over to whatever else is next.
No. I'll tell you what it is. I'm really curious to see how it's going to end up shaking up the competitive scene. Because if it does something fun to the competitive scene, I'm in. But if most of the competitive scene just rolls their eyes at it and is like, oh, Mega Evolutions were better, why did we do this? Then, you know what? This is a generation that I'm going to just tap out on.
The whole thing.
The whole gen.
Okay.
Yikes.
All right.
Along with Nate, I too am looking towards Death Stranding, because I'm going to be honest, I have missed a game that is going to be an experience as opposed to just a game.
Yeah, I've missed the creative voice of Hideo Kojima quite a bit.
Yeah, and but again, I mean, Red Dead is, to me, you know, Rockstar's sort of magnum opus.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I feel like I love games like that, and I think that this is going to be so strange and so weird and so out there that it's going to be Kojima once again pushing the envelopes of how we create and consume and talk about video games.
Absolutely. You know, I want it to be as weird as, like, End of Evangelion. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I want it to be that kind of divisive. You know, I want gamers to be split on this.
Yeah.
If everyone loves this game, I'm going to be really disappointed.
You need some people to think it's terrible.
I need a strong contingent of people telling me that I'm wrong for this to really, deliver on all of its promise.
So if you play it and love it.
Yeah.
But then everyone else says they loved it too. Or not love it.
Or at least I won't like it as much. Big enough contingent of people. Yeah. But I think
weird stuff like that never really, like, gets mainstream approval. Like, I understand that Evangelion is, like, it's sold more merch than any other anime in Japan.
Yeah.
But I mean, something that bizarre and strange and out there, it really, normally that kind of stuff doesn't see mainstream success. So I'm very much prepared for this to be an immensely divisive
it's
game.
Like what Metal Gear 2 was.
Yes.
Metal Gear Solid 2 was completely polarizing because of the bait and switch in the beginning of
course.
And there are some people who hated it for
it's undeniable now that it's a great
still
game
still great.
I think the game that I'm most looking forward to is a similar reason for what you guys looking forward to there, because for me it's not Iceborne or even Borderlands 3, because I know what I'm getting with both of those, or even Pokemon Sword and Shield, which I'll probably wait on.
Right.
But Control.
God, this game again? You keep talking about this.
Because it looks inventive.
And what I'm hoping for out of it is that I don't know exactly what it's going to be. Like we know a little bit about it, but when I actually play it, I have no idea what to expect now. And when I was out at E3, I got to see a few of, like, the cutscenes and the story being presented.
We were in that presentation together, yeah.
Yes, when we got to watch it. But I got to see additional cutscenes when I was at E3, just being shown, like, on the monitors all over the place. And the way that it was that the story was being presented in these scenes also feels like the way they're telling the story is going to be one of those really different, really sort of psychological, trippy things. So honestly, besides the fact that, hey, supernatural stuff and weird things, I don't know what else to expect out of this game, and that's a really great feeling going into a game.
My only concern is that I have not seen much marketing on it.
I haven't either.
Which makes me think that they're not as proud of it as they could. You know what I mean?
Like, I've seen some marketing. It's also a smaller studio, because I think 505 is not that big of a studio. So they made.
I thought it was Deep Silver that was working on that.
It's still, it's through 505 Games,
okay,
though.
Yeah. They're publishing.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I know there's a lot coming out in the fall to be excited about.
Including Indivisible October.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's going to be my Switch.
For me, there's nothing that I'm like, oh, my God, like, must play. Like, there's Link's Awakening, which I really want to play. And
sure.
You've been there, done that.
There's plenty of games that I definitely want to play, but nothing where I'm, like, chomping at the bit. Like,
really? It's the FF8 remastered.
Yeah.
Still isn't dated.
I could have swore they said it was coming out this year.
They did, but that might not be the fall. That could be the winter.
By the way, have you guys seen on Twitter that they've been leaning into the "you're the best looking guy here" meme?
Oh my God, yes. And
yeah.
And that joke is officially dead because now he looks fine.
It is.
Yeah.
It's dead.
There are so many things. Like Life is Strange 2's fourth chapter is out this month, actually.
Is that the last one?
There's one more. I'm waiting until all five are out before I get in. But we got things like Puyo Puyo coming out this month. I'm pumped for that.
You're the only person who wants to play Puyo Puyo.
Just looking at Puyo Puyo, I'm like, wow, they really did just steal the assets for those beans and Dr. Robotnik's mean bean machine. They just stole it. Astral Chain's out at the end of this month. Yep. That's cool. But I mean, yeah, nothing, because I don't really care that much about Borderlands 3. I don't care much about Monster Hunter.
I don't care about Borderlands at all.
Oh, this Me is cool. Either. Dead by Daylight's getting a Switch release. That's sweet.
You don't want to play Death Stranding
I definitely want to play it, but I'm not chopping it.
No, you guys know what this is.
What is this?
Old Man Joe.
Yeah.
He don't care about video games no more.
He's outgrowing them, guys.
He cares more about his gutters than he does games. This is disappointing.
At home with his propane and propane accessories.
I stand corrected.
No, it's too late. You can't take it back.
We call him out, and now suddenly
he picks a game.
Now suddenly he finds a game that he's excited about.
Did they announce a new Bubsy game?
No, because I would normally say Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, but that's we'll see about that.
Yeah.
But I did notice I forgot. The Outer Worlds is coming out in October.
I forgot about the Outer Worlds.
I'm gonna live the Outer Worlds through you guys vicariously and get the reviews because I got way too much other stuff I gotta buy.
I
might have to wait on the Outer Worlds.
I gotta buy Iceborne. I gotta buy Death Stranding. I gotta buy FIFA. I gotta buy Pokemon. I gotta buy Indivisible. I gotta buy. There's so much stuff I gotta buy.
Yeah. No, Outer Worlds.
Outer Worlds.
You mentioned
one.
That
Outer Worlds comes out on October 25th, mate, and you're gonna play that before November 8th, Death Stranding.
Yeah, probably. Why not? It's 2 weeks.
Yeah, why not?
Not the way Nate plays them kind of games.
But to Nate's point,
we don't know what the depth of the Outer Worlds is.
I mean, if it's like a Fallout game,
I mean, no. Obsidian did not make Fallout 4. Obsidian made Fallout before 3 and had a big hand in Vegas.
Yeah. How many hours you sink into Vegas?
I mean, 60, 70, somewhere around there.
It's not as deep.
I'm sorry. No. They did not perfect the gameplay loop of having to protect your settlements that Bethesda did for 4.
That has
wasted so much of my time.
The old Garvey.execute.
is exactly what that is.
Nate, to your point about Control.
Yes.
And you said, like, you know, there hasn't been the marketing around it, and it kind of leads you to think maybe they're not as proud of it as they should be.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Outer Worlds, Microsoft is already talking about securing exclusivity rights for any future sequels to that game. So
really?
Clearly, Microsoft is seeing big things.
Am I crazy or did we find out that the Outer Worlds was coming out on the Switch?
It is.
Yep. It is right now.
I think it's rumored.
October 25th is PC, PS4, Xbox.
Yep.
But we have heard rumors that there is a Switch.
Man, I want a Switch version of that game.
Switch launches, like simultaneous launches, are important. Indivisible is coming on the Switch, but not right away.
Ugh.
Mm.
They need to get that. Like, Nintendo needs to get a little bit better about that.
They really do.
Yeah, because they're missing out on a lot.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Nintendo's developers.
Shenmue 3.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Shenmue 3 is in there, too.
Oh, there's so much, guys.
Are you... Now, I need to understand. Why are you excited for Shenmue 3?
For completionism.
That's it?
I just need to...
Because I played Shenmue, okay? Yeah. I understand its appeal. What they've shown off for Shenmue 3 looks terrible.
It does.
It does.
It looks objectively bad.
It does.
Okay, I'm not alone on
probably,
that. Okay.
It could probably run on my phone. Yeah. That's all good.
It looks like they still made it in a Dreamcast.
Yeah, I just need the end of the story, dude.
Hey guys.
What?
December 3rd.
Oh, Windjammers 2? Yep. I forgot.
December 3rd for PS4, Xbox, and Switch. Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition. I'm getting that. I gotta get back in. I miss Neverwinter Nights. I gotta get back in on that.
It's getting a simultaneous release on the Switch.
Yeah. Switch release.
I never got deep into Neverwinter.
That's going in my Switch library. Yep. For
Joe, you're still really old though.
Yeah, I know.
For sure. Have we seen any of the graphics on that for the Neverwinter Nights?
I've not seen anything about
it. Yeah, because I'm real curious about what it's going to look like visually. All right, well, you've heard what we're excited about, but what are you excited about that's coming up this fall? And you know what? This winter, you know, December technically counts as winter. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram.
It is already on Steam if you want to play it, though.
That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily: Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name is Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.